podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
For the first time in their history, have won the Women's ICC World T20 title.
County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why this December, we're launching a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month for free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special Rumshot Diaries episode. You won't believe who we've got on today. I'm one half of the Caribbean Cricket Podcast, Mashal St. Patrick Hewitt. And with me, as ever, it's my partner in crime. How you doing, Santolki?
Yeah, Mashal, and like you said, we're starting 2022 with a bang. We've got a legend of the game on the show today, a personal hero of mine. We could probably spend an hour talking about his accolades and achievements in the game, Mash. But as a fellow Jamaican, it's only right you introduce him to the people.
Of course. On the show today, it's our biggest guest to date so far. It is, of course, Cuddy Courtney Walsh. She doesn't even need an introduction. I could read down the list of everything that Courtney's done in the game, but you surely can't be a cricket fan if you don't know about Courtney Walsh. So I'm not going to patronise anybody and say, and Courtney did this and Courtney did that. But we're absolutely honoured to have the great Courtney Walsh on the show today. Courtney, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm finally, we've made it. I know that there's a few attempts to get on the show, so finally we've made it, and I'm pretty good and excited for the new year that's coming up. So happy to be a part of your show.
Thank you very much, Courtney. And for those who are listening, saying, what is Courtney talking about? We tried to make this happen at least 100 times at the start of 2022. But we finally got it together and all got ourselves in the same spot at the same time. But Santolki, you know, why don't you jump straight into it? Because it's interesting that we've got Courtney on the show today in particular, because some important news has broken on the day of recording with regards to the West Indies women. So I'll hand over to you.
Yeah, so Cricket West Indies announced today West Indies women's side are going to tour South Africa end of the month for 4 ODIs ahead of the Cricket World Cup, which is taking place in New Zealand in a few months. Courtney, as head coach of the women's side, how important is this tour to South Africa and what are you going to be looking for?
Very, very important. I'll backtrack a little bit. That, you know, unfortunately, the qualifiers were cancelled in Zimbabwe, so we didn't get any cricket as part of the plan and preparation. So we only had 2 games, 1 warm-up game and 1 game against Ireland, when we were supposed to play like 8 or 9 games, which would have given us a good sort of idea as to where the ladies were, and much needed preparation and practice. Because since the pandemic, we've had to play cricket apart from Pakistan coming to us, we going to them, and South Africa. So this tour is of immense value, I would say, to both teams, but more so us, because we just haven't been able to play a lot of cricket. So, you know, we're very, very thankful that this tour is going ahead. Very excited to get a chance to see the ladies play before the World Cup, to at least give us some good and much-needed match practice.
It's interesting you talk about the World Cup, Courtney, because of course it would be remiss, and thank you for bringing it up, it would be remiss to not talk about what happened there in terms of obviously the pandemic, a new variant breaking out, and then the team having to go through quite an arduous journey back home to get back to the Caribbean. I think, what was it, about nearly 2 weeks it took for all of you to find your way back. How was all that? being not just within the bubble, but then a bubble almost to then try to get back home?
It was rough. Leaving Zimbabwe and stuff wasn't that bad. But when we got to Homan, where we thought we'd have been able to move around, we were on the quarantine. And it was in-room quarantine. So can you imagine just being in the rooms, not being able to see your teammates or mix with your teammates for about 10 days? It wasn't very easy on the ladies, but I must give them credit. Everybody pulled through together. It was some tough times, and everybody was getting anxious. But we managed to get through that and get home together. So that was very good. And I think that's why the South Africa tour is coming at the right time, you know, to get us back into cricket-playing mood and, you know, cricket-playing minds.
Will you be looking to get in some more tours or more practice after the South Africa series, or is it just straight to the World Cup after that?
We're going straight to the World Cup from South Africa. So both teams will be leaving South Africa, going to New Zealand is the plan. And then we have to quarantine again for another 10 days. And then we have another 8 to 10 days of practice and then get into competition mode. So it's a little bit longer we're going to be in New Zealand for than probably would have been normally under normal circumstances. But this is the new world we're living in, that we just have to go with the flow and do the best we can on a day-to-day basis.
It's really interesting, Courtney, because obviously you've been the women's head coach for a while now, but does it almost feel like you haven't been? Because you've had them in camps in Antigua, and then, like you say, you've had a bit of game time versus Pakistan, home and away. South Africa came to the Caribbean last year as well, but you haven't, as you alluded to at the start, had a lot of match time. So do you feel like you've not properly been able to kind of sink your teeth into the task?
No, I haven't been able to, if you're going to be honest. I don't think any one of us who have joined the ladies recently would have had enough time, because we had the tour against Pakistan. We've had a couple of camps, and we had the tour of South Africa coming and Pakistan coming, and we going to Pakistan in the time since I've been in charge of it. Obviously, we haven't had a chance to see any local cricket at all. So you're not able to say you spot any new talent or work with any new talent. We just have to sort of pick from what we know and try to widen the pool to have a look at other people, which we have done that. So I think we have done everything possible to see as much people as we can. And, you know, we got good support from Cricket West Indies in that regards, and trying to help us to see as much people as we can. The unfortunate thing is that we weren't able to play any competitive cricket as a group. So we you know, when they leave camp, they had nothing else to do.
It's interesting. It's interesting you talk about the local cricket, because, of course, for those who have been following the women's game back home keenly enough, obviously, and this will probably sound like a common question that you get, but we're intrigued on the podcast to see what your answer is, because everyone talks about the fact we won the World Cup in 2016. It's now 2021, but there hasn't been a lot of game time in general for the women, not just during the pandemic, but just in general. And I guess what I want your view on is, what are the things that you have identified, pandemic notwithstanding, that need to change for the women's game in general back home?
Yeah, we need to get more cricket being played. As you rightly say, there's not been a lot of game time, and it's something that, you know, we have highlighted, we have a discussion on, and we're hoping that as soon as things settle down, we can get a chance to address that. But the girls need more game time. I mean, I'd go as far as saying that it would be great to hear West Indies cricket thinking about the women's playing test match, because then they'll get a lot more game time and practice, even if it's like the one-off test here and there, to get them accustomed to playing, to being on the field of play. So it's something that we're looking at, thinking about, talking about. But I think locally what we need to do is to try to ensure that we get our regional competition back on track, get a window for it, get them to play, so that they have competitive cricket playing. And as head coach, I will get a chance of seeing the new talent that's out there, or having a fairer look at everybody and reassessing again. So we really need to get our regionals going after the World Cup. We're going to be looking at that. And once you get that going, then you can plan camps around that. And the other thing that I would recommend is that we, that I have recommended, is that we look at trying to get some emerging players. So we have, we try to have an emerging camp where we have some youngsters coming into the camp from now. Because if that doesn't happen, when the group that is playing now stop playing, we're going to be left very, very bare. Because everybody is at a good age. Not every, you know, but more, the nucleus of the team is at an age where when the time comes and they decide that they've had enough, if everybody were to leave at once, then we're going to have a big void to fill.
You mentioned Test cricket there. Obviously, West Indies women haven't played Test cricket for years. As a head coach, what long-term systems do you think need to be put in place to get them ready to play Test cricket or to prepare players for Red Bull cricket?
I think if we can get our regional game going and then move away from just T20 and 50 overs, but have some games where they play a two-day competition with points or something to get them playing back-to-back so they're on the field to play if it's 2 days or 3 days. So they can get accustomed to that. They get the overs in. You don't have to worry about only bowling four overs or only bowling 10. But come back and bowl a second spell. Bat for as long as you can bat. Don't just bat for 40 and look to up the tempo. But bat, you know, put a value on your wicket and get accustomed and acclimatized to batting long innings.
Would you... it's interesting because on one hand you have Test cricket, and I would love to see some women's Test matches for the West Indies. But then on the other hand, you have things like CPL, right, for the men's game. Would you be in favour of the equivalent? I think when we had this, like, Stanford Stars, we've had some women games, not women's Stanford Stars, sorry. We've had some women's games in the past, like one-off games. But would you be supportive of any kind of CPL women's version?
I would be, and I think it would be great if they can do that and franchises. Maybe not have as much women's team as the men as you have now, because there might not be enough people to hold the pool. But at least have four teams if they can to get that going. And if they can keep building and get another team in or two more teams in over a 3 year period, then that would be great. But I think it would be good to have a CPL running alongside the men for the women. Have them playing, and invite a couple of overseas players to fill some of the teams as well, to improve the cricket here and sort of bring that level of professionalism to it, exposure, everything that you can think of. I don't see no reason why it can't be done.
And you talk about overseas players, but then I think about I'm going to call them the big three, so Deandra, Stefani and Haley, and that's not to denigrate anybody else. We could talk about Anisa Mohammed, for example, etc. But if we talk about the three that I think, if you ask anybody around the world, they're the three names they're going to mention first and foremost. Just how good are they, Courtney? Now you've worked up and close with them, and not just how good are those three. Who are the names that you would be saying to West Indies fans, look out for these names coming up? Maybe that they may well be at the World Cup, and that might be a tad too soon, but who are the next set of names as well that you're like, no, keep an eye on these people? I've got a lot of, I think they're going to be really, really good.
Well, as you mentioned the top three, and with Anissa as well. So yes, I'll agree with you with that. And the other ones are very good, very professional, go about the job a very professional manner, work hard to achieve their goals, and you know, they always want to improve their game, which is very good to see. If you move away from those, there's a few that have been looking potentially and showing good potential, but hasn't come to the forefront yet in the way that you'd like to see. Someone like a Chinelle Henry has good potential, but we haven't seen that on the park as yet. I've seen some youngsters recently in Zadia James and Janelle Glasgow. And I think those two, they're youngsters, they're in the teens, 16, 17. But I think they definitely have some way to go once they start putting the right things in place. Which was the beauty of having a camp to just look at everybody at one point in time. They were invited to the camp for the first time as youngsters. And I've got very high hopes of those two as well to come out and be involved with what's going on. Yes, they have youth in their favour, but they've also have a good work ethic, and they have a good knowledge of the game, and they want to improve. And you could see the potential there as well.
Yeah, so we're just going to... another interesting topic, I mean, more so in the men's game at the moment. We've seen a hot debate about fitness in the region. We've seen a lot of senior men's players fail fitness tests to make the West Indies and regional sides. It'd be interesting to know, as someone based in the region and as a coach in the women's game, do you think fitness is a widespread issue in the region? Is it to do with educational fitness, or is it down to particular individuals at the moment?
It should really be down to the particular individual. If you take pride in your sports and you want to play at a certain level, you really should know what to do. And from I'm wearing my coaches at first, because that's what I'm doing now. So if you have a player and the player knows the requirements, and it's up to that player individually to make sure they stick to that requirements and work to maintain that level of fitness. If I was to put on my player's hat now, if I'm playing, I would not want to be left out because of fitness. So I will ensure the work has been done. And if they give me a program to be 60% fit, I'm going to try to be 70% fit, because that's what I used to do when I played. I always wanted to be one amongst the fittest guys. I want to make sure, well, I don't know if it's because of the bowling that I used to do then, but I always wanted to make sure that if a skipper asks me to do a job or my teammate, I can do it. And the only way I can do this is if I'm physically fit. Once you're physically and mentally fit, then you can get the job done.
Have you had any concerns re the women and fitness?
Yes, I have, and I've raised that with the ladies. I've told them, we've had open discussion, that the level of fitness that it was before I joined the team is not acceptable in terms of moving forward. We've had discussions about it, how we're going to move, and they have bought into it to realize that the fitter they are, the better they'll play as well. And you know, that's testimony to that as to how they've been playing, and they're getting fitter. We're not where we would like to be peaking as a team as yet, but it's a big improvement, and you know, you can see the difference, tell the difference. Sharper in the outfield, you can more run more ones and twos, and the bowlers can come back and bowl two or three spells in a day. So it's just important for the game to move forward and for individual players to move forward to be much fitter.
And thank you for that, Courtney. That's actually quite illuminating in terms of just shining a bit more light on kind of fitness in general. But looking forward then, we started off with the announcement of the South Africa series. Based on the series that you have had the ladies with you for Pakistan and South Africa home here and in Pakistan, what are the kind of key things that you've identified that, right, when we go to South Africa now, this is what I want to see us improving our levels on ahead of the World Cup itself?
Well, we need to improve on the feeling a little bit more. It has improved, but just we can fine-tune it and get the ground feeling a little bit sharper. We'll be working on that. The catching has improved. And you know, you still want to try to improve it because you want to get 100% record. What I was happy with in Pakistan was our batting. One, the partnerships we're now building, and we're not panicking when we lose a couple of early wickets based on the lineup that we have set up and stuff. So I think the depth in the batting has shown that it's improved as well. So we still want to improve with that. And at the beginning, at the innings now, we want to try to see if we can sort of get that, the rates that we need to set that foundation without losing too many wickets or taking too many risks. So the opening position is something we've been working at. The one area that is a major concern for me right now is our number three. We need we haven't sort of, no one has put their hand up to solidify that position. One, two, and we need a player there who can dictate and change the pace of the game. So we're working on that. Unfortunately, the players that we had earmarked for those positions had Hill health in Pakistan and Zimbabwe, so to speak. So we didn't get a chance to see them in that position. So it's still a bit open, so to speak. But that's the one here that I would just want to fine tune for the batting department. If you can have a solid number three batter with confidence. And that didn't happen. That was part of the plan to get that established, but we didn't play enough cricket when we were on tour. And as I said, the candidates that we had for that were Hill, so they didn't get a chance to participate in those games. On the bowling front, a little bit more consistency in all departments.
I don't want to put you on the spot, you know, but I'm still going to do it. So in terms of the World Cup, what are you targeting in terms of the World Cup? Or is it more a case of, well, first things first, get out of the group and see what happens next? Like, I don't expect you to say specifically, but what are you targeting for this World Cup? Or is it as simple as we're going to win it?
Well, that's a simple thing to look at and the simple way to put it. We want to win the World Cup and we're going to win it. We're going to try everything we can do to win the World Cup. But I think to get there, we have to target a semi-final position, because once you get into a semi-final spot, you give yourself a chance. So that's my main aim and target first. Let's do everything we can do to get into the top four. And then once we're in the top four, now we can assess where we are again and see who we're up against and take it from there. So that would be my first major step to say, let's target the top four spot.
Indeed. No, I completely hear that. And just quickly, before we kind of bring this to a close, and like I say, Courtney, thank you so much for giving up some of your time. The team flies to South Africa must be relatively soon. Are you going to have a camp first in Antigua, or is it going to be a case of fly to South Africa and do all of your prep in South Africa?
We're going to have a fly to South Africa and do all the cricketing prep. We were going to have a camp in Antigua, but the Under-19 World Cup is in Antigua, so there's no grounds available, unfortunately. And then we're going to Barbados to meet up to do the medicals in Barbados. And a physical, and then do all the cricketing prep when we get to South Africa. We would have loved to have had like 5 more days before we travel to get everything done, but it's kind of impossible with what's happening around and the restrictions that you got to do with travel and things. So we just have to bite at the bullet and make it work, and you know, do all the physical and medical in the Caribbean, and then do all the cricketing prep when we get to South Africa.
Indeed. I mean, it goes without saying, Courtney, that here at the Caribbean Cricket Podcast and all the West Indies fans around the world, we wish the team well, not just in South Africa, but for the World Cup as well. And we'll all be rallying behind them, hoping they can do as well as can possibly be. Santoke, any words from you?
No, absolute pleasure to have Courtney on the podcast. Thank you so much for giving up some time to come on and share some insights into the women's side. And what Mash said, good luck for the side ahead of the World Cup in a few months.
Thanks, Santoki. Thanks, Michelle. It's good to speak to you both, and thanks for your good wishes. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can do a good job to make you all happy and proud of us, and that they can make the entire region happy and proud. And the ultimate goal will be to win the World Cup. So, you know, fingers crossed, hard work, and we're going to be giving it our best shot.
Well, you heard it there first, people. We're going to win the World Cup. Courtney has promised it for us, but no, we're going to support the ladies. We're going to get behind them, and just want to say a huge thank you, Courtney, for coming on and giving up some of your valuable time. And let's touch base again, whether when you're in South Africa or nearer to the World Cup itself, and see how preparations are going. Thank you so much, Courtney.
No problem. Pleasure, man. Catch up soon.
Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gents, that I hope you enjoyed that brief touch-in with Courtney Walsh. I know a lot of you were saying to us, when are you going to focus more on the West Indies women's team? And Courtney's given us a really good insight into where things are ahead of the World Cup. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Santoke, any last words on that?
Yeah, hope everyone enjoyed that. Yeah, we'll be looking to get more short interviews from stakeholders in West Indies cricket going forward. But yeah, as Mash said, we're going to focus more on women's cricket 2022, as well as the usual that we usually do. So yeah, just keep a lookout for more content. Hope you enjoyed it. Let us know in the comments how you think the interview went, anything you want to raise, and we'll be sure to have Courtney on again in the near future.
Most definitely press that like button, press that subscribe button, share this with anybody who you feel needs to know, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thank you and good night.
Network.